preacher. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here this morning. Thank you for coming out. It's a chilly morning, and you chose to come to church. You are really special because you set your clocks forward, or you just happened to have woke up and you thought, boy, it feels early. And then you realize, oh no, this is that time change Sunday, which if I were president, my only political statement, if I were president, I would change this. Stop. We just do one time and be done with that. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Pastor asked me if I would speak to the teens and to the adults. And I started to think about that. I thought, well, that's what I do every week. But he wants me to kind of hone in on special people. So I got a list, Manny, of all the things. So pastor sent out an email to all the parents and said, here are my kids' sins. And then they give me the list, and then I'm supposed to yell at you for 45 minutes every day till you get fixed. Okay? Okay. I did have open heart surgery late last year, and I'm still in recovery. I've graduated from the rehab program. The rehab program was for exercise, but I still deal with pain management issues. I was preaching in Hendersonville on Friday night, just up I-26, and I was preaching there, and the guy said, well, I know you're taking pain medication. Is the pain medication, is that what makes you funny? And I said, no, actually, that's before the pain medication. But it is so nice to be with you. I preach Sundays only in February, and so these are just the first days of me getting back to what I call a normal preaching schedule as well. And I'm glad I get to be here because I figure if I mess up in front of you, you'll be forgiving. Yeah, probably not. So Deuteronomy chapter number 6 is where I'd like to start this morning. And I want you to follow along with me as I read from the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you haven't found it, just fake it. You found it? It's in the front. Okay, good. And you got your phone? Have you clicked, swiped, tapped, and you're there? You ready? Here we go. Deuteronomy 6. Now these are the commandments. What's a commandment, Manny? Huh? Rules. Do you have rules in your life? Yeah. Do you have to do the rules that are given in your life? Who are the authorities that gave you those rules? My parents. Let me see if I can find them. Please identify yourself if this is your finest production of humanity. They're not here, gratefully, are they? They won't raise their hands if they are here. Are anybody here claim Manny? No, not even a soul. The pastor didn't even raise his hand. These are the commandments, the rules. What happens if you break the rules at your house? You can't play PlayStation. Is that because you have no skills, or is it because they take it away from you? That's it. We're taking the plug until you're do better. Okay. So right now, is the PlayStation something you can play? So you've been good. These are commandments. Do you have the option to break the commandments at your house? Yeah. But it comes with consequences. Correct? Second thing, what if God gives commandments? You have to follow them. What happens if you don't? You won't go to heaven. Well, it's a little extreme, and it's a little more than we'll take your PlayStation from you. But there are consequences. Let's call them consequences. There's stuff that happens when we're not listening to God. It is in our best interest to listen to the Word of God. You know how slow this meeting's going to be? 5 minutes over two words. C- commandments, next set of words. Now, these are the commandments. That's the first one, Manny. Why is it that you've just dropped your head so low so I won't call on you if you're my next one? These are the commandments and the statutes. What? Oh, I better. Statutes, not statues. Different. What's a statute? Just a second. He's whispering and I can't hear him. One moment. Good enough. They don't really know either. They're hoping somebody here. We'll ask a girl. Girls are smarter than boys. What are statutes, ma'am? What are statutes, ma'am? They're like commandments. Okay. More rules. What is your name? Aiden. I remember that. Aiden. Aiden, statutes, according to this young lady, your name? Kayla. Remember that. They're like rules. God says these are the commandments. These are the statutes. Next word. Oh, my young friend. Help me with your name again. Silas? Ryland, that's right. Ryland. Here's another one. Judgments. What are judgments? If you do something bad, there's a ruling against you, which we call a judgment. So God says in His words, this is how I want my kids to behave. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a small child or a grown-up. It makes no difference. God has a level of expectations that ought to be governing or ruling our home. You say, well, my parents don't live for God. It doesn't matter. You have the Word of God. Your job is to follow the Word of God. You just can't make up your own rules in life. And that is what society is teaching us today. Do your own thing. Verse number 1 says, these are the commandments, statutes, and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and all His commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons. Toby, help me out with the names of these positions of people. Thou would be whom? You or me, you? All y'all. That's what we would say from the Southern Hebrew. All right? You. Next one. Oh, you want me to point it out? I'm sorry. It's in the Bible. Verse number 2. Thou, next one, thy son. That's your kid. And thy son's son, who would that be? Grandchild. Well, if it's a son, we could go ahead and say grandson. So now God establishes 3 positions of influence in the home. So I thought it just said thou, thy son, and thy son's son. But those are the 3 positions of influence of the current generation that God said they have to know what my word says, because if they don't know what my words say, then they're not going to follow what I have to say. You say, well, where's the Sunday school teacher? Where's the deacon? Where's the pastor? No, the Sunday school teacher, the deacon, and the pastor, they have all of their time that's here. You have all the rest of the time. The reason why we have so much friction at times in our youth groups, from youth leaders to the youth in our churches, as well as in the parents in the home, and these struggles take place, is because these things are out of sync. If mom and dad are teaching their young people the statutes and judgments and commandments of God, then those young people get that 7 days a week at home. Then they show up to church, and you know what? It's the same commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. And so that way, when your precious little Timmy, do we have a Timmy? We have a Ryland. Let's use a What is your name with the yellow shirt? I can't help but see you. Yeah, me. What's your name? Dexter?
His dad's Tim. Hmm.
I knew I felt a bond. Dexter, when you are brought to church, there ought to be a consistency with what, you know what consistency means? It's the same. I'm defining that for Toby so he knows what it is. You hear the same stuff at the house and the same stuff at church. And so it's consistent. And in that way, when your parents say this, you say, well, at Sunday school, we don't have to do that. At home, we don't have to do that. And then that creates problems for the teachers and the leaders. So what we try to do is say, all right, let's get all of our homes on the same page. That we have, I'm going to introduce a phrase to you and I want you to remember it. So I'm going to just say it to you now and then I'll repeat it often. We need to have a biblical culture in our homes. What is a culture? A culture is the way we do stuff. How many of you guys go to public school? Toby, have you ever heard the school talk about the way they have a culture at the school? They want things done. Have you ever heard that? Okay. Do you remember any of the values of the culture of school? No. So effective. And anyone else, do you, any? Do I have any Chick-fil-A workers here? Look at you showing up. Is that all yours? Dude, help me out. What's your name? Yes, JJ. And I'm still learning how to spell that. JJ, at Chick-fil-A, they have a culture. It's the culture, the way they do stuff, the way they do life at the chicken house. That's what they have. At public school, that's the way they do life. In church, there's a culture as well. And it's set out by God's commandments, God's judgments, and God's statutes. And our homes have a culture as well, the way we do life around here. That's what we call a biblical culture. So God said, I want the three living generations that have influence around them to the son and son's son, and the very son himself, is to say, I want them to know what I say. The world is driving its message to our kids and to us all day long. Somebody at the house ought to be pulling out the word of God, not just to say, get it off the back dashboard of our car, but to say, let's pull out the word of God and find out what it has to say, because the one thing that will govern our homes in the world, in a world filled with confusion and difficulties and questions. I often study and was recently studying the subject of those who were born after 1999. How many of you were born? Okay, now think. What year was I born? Is it after 1999? Raise your hand. After, Ryland, that would be you. Everybody older than you in this pew. What year were you born? 2007. So 99, and then there's 2000, and then there's, so yes, way after that. Anyone else? Everyone else, right? Right? No, you don't look like it. You just look like you're out of place. Who are you? Whoa. Jake, were you the guy that was here before that had a girl in somewhere in Mississippi or something? California. Same thing. It's west of Gastonia. After that, it just all comes together. She's still there? I thought we were shortening that thing up. June. So here you sit with a bunch of young people apparently over you, over whom you have charge. And when I look at this, the Word of God, that means that you and your teaching has to be consistent. You know why? Every person born after 1999. Well, a couple back there. And a whole row over there. Dexter, when were you born? 2008. That makes you and Ryland pretty close. Do you know him? Yeah. Do you know him? You're not brothers, are you? No. Toby's got a brother in this room. Toby does? Dude, thanks for waking up, man. It's so cool to have you. Oh, nice to see you. What is your name? Chelsea. All the good-looking things went there. That's all I'm saying. If this world is going to be different and our homes are going to be right, then we have to say, we make the word of God known to this generation. Those that are born after 99 until now have a completely different realm of thinking than you grew up with. And the easiest thing for you to do is criticize them and say, why aren't they like me? They grew up in my home. They were under my leadership. And these kids today don't think like I think. Sound familiar? When we get to this age, do you know, Ryland, what the name of your group is? The teen group. Oh, yes, that's true. Apart from that, Ryland, we have the generation that would be like, Ryland's, where's Ryland's mom and dad? Are they here? Where are they? Yes, of course. Precious child, isn't he? So you guys are late Gen X people, right? And then the ones behind you would be millennial, and the ones above you would be baby boomers. These mark the generations that were there. But this generation, 1999 and forward, is Generation Z. I don't name them, I just study them. And what these young people want to know is one thing: what is absolute truth? Because this world tells them there is no absolute truth. And this world is telling them who you are is how you feel. And generations that have a biblical culture will say, who I am is who God made me. And that will come in conflict with them many times. It would be staggering to you to know how many of this generation do not believe that lying is morally wrong. It would surprise you to learn how many in this generation are being assaulted by the thought that says, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter who you are. All that matters is that we get along. And so then when generations that are older than this generation say, this is right or wrong, this generation can easily say back, no, there is no right or wrong. It's just how you feel. You say, not in my house. Then tell me why our kids are growing up in our godly homes and leaving home and living like they want to live and doing what the world does. Explain that to me then. So you can't just bury your head in the sand. Our homes are called by the word of God to have a biblical culture. And it's you guys' job to follow what they say as they follow the word of God. JJ. Did you miss me? JJ, I go into Chick-fil-A and I order a double Whopper with cheese. And you have one in the back and you serve it. Say, here, Brother John, here's a double Whopper with cheese. My pleasure. They don't serve double Whoppers with cheese at Chick-fil-A. You all are with me. Please tell me time change hasn't deadened your senses. So he say, well, here's this. What will happen with your owner-operator? And he sees, what is that kid doing? He's got a double whopper with cheese and he's serving it and we're Chick-fil-A. We don't do that. They don't have pleasure over there. We have pleasure over here. What is this kid doing? What are you doing? You're violating all sorts of culture. And there are consequences when we do so. Herein is the same thing. When you all claim to be children of God and that you are growing up in a Christian home and you have Christian parents and you are being taught the values of the Word of God and you start pulling out double whoppers with cheese, you're thinking, where did that come from? You didn't get it from here. And that's the danger of today. And the world says to those parents of these young people and the ones that are older, the late millennials, and looking at them and saying, you as parents, you're looking at them and saying, what on earth are we going to do with them? Your job is to never surrender your influence on the generation that is before you and around you. Your job is to take the statutes and the judgments and the commandments of the Lord and make sure that they get it and make sure that you're giving it. And I know sometimes grandparents feel like it is their duty to spoil children or their grandchildren. Maybe they like them better than the ones that they produce themselves, so they do more things for them. Maybe the grandchildren are more appealing than the first batch that came out. I don't know. But you're not afraid to use your influence to give your kids or your grandkids stuff. Why would you be afraid to use your influence to teach people the Word of God? There are those that are in your charge. When I look in Deuteronomy chapter 6, because Manny took so long to define that word, I'm nearly out of time. Notice what God says. Why do we do this? Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou, thy son, thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, as long as you are alive. Grandparents, if you're physically able and it doesn't cause too much pain, or you'll need a chiropractic adjustment after doing said activity, if you're a grandparent, raise your hand. Significant number, over a third, all right? How many of you are parents? Same number, could raise their hand, but there'll be more. Yes, that's right. Some of you are thinking, well, no, I didn't raise my hand, but do I have kids? Wait, I'm a grandparent. I must have kids. Sometimes we have to help on Time Change Sunday and offer Starbucks for your mom and dad as they go home today to give them that little boost to wake up. Right, Rylan?
Yeah, right.
So each of you have a measure of influence in your life, and you cannot surrender that influence. It's so easy to hear the kids come home with new ideas and curse the generation, if you will, to say, those millennials, they're never going to get it. They can't find their way out of a room by themselves. They'd have to get three safe spaces to get to before they got home. Our job is to love the people that are in front of us. And if the world presented this idea that you don't need a room that gives you, if your world didn't teach you that you needed a room to say, I will have, there'll be nothing here that triggers me, nothing here that makes me feel guilt, nothing here that makes me feel shame. I just simply need to have a safe space. And your generation didn't do that. It would be easy to curse the generation that said we needed that. But I found that as a child of God these last 50-something years, 52 years, that this is my safe space. And with the sweet Holy Spirit of God alive in my heart, there are times I do face conviction in that safe space of His presence. But in truth, I find this, that there is hope, there is healing, and there is courage to go on. It's easy to curse a generation that you don't understand its language, but if you realize your job is not to surrender that culture that we're supposed to be developing in our homes, then by all means, then you realize, all right, well, what am I doing then? Well, I'm espousing the world's culture, or I'm cursing the darkness, and I'm saying, this isn't right. But the truth is, my job, God's word, God's statutes, they must be taught. If you went to, let's say, you went to a Chick-fil-A, and someone said something to you, and you said something back, and you said, thank you for the food. What do they say, Ryland, at Chick-fil-A when you say, my pleasure? You don't look like you've ever eaten before, but okay, my pleasure. And if somebody didn't say my pleasure back to you, the little Pharisee inside of you rises up and says, whoa, you didn't say my pleasure. You just broke the culture. No wonder the world looks at us and say, you're a Christian, and you just did that. You just broke the culture. And the reason why the culture breaks our homes, the outside culture breaks the inside culture, is because we've stopped looking at our homes like the embassies of heaven that they are to be. Has anyone ever been to an embassy or in an embassy in your life? Okay, good, good, good. Sir, to which embassy did you go? More than one. Would you choose one to make instead of making me guess? This sounds like 200 nations. It's going to take me a while. Jamaican embassy in Kingston or in D.C.? In Kingston. All right. And so you went to the Jamaican embassy, and inside, before you got inside that embassy, my friend, did you have to pass a guard? Was he armed? Could you bribe him with salt, fish, and ackee? No. Why? They will shoot you dead, man. It's just the way it goes. So why are they protecting the embassy? Oh, you're a gift to me today. I'm going to switch from this Manny and the Manettes up there. Yes, to keep the culture. They don't want the outside influence coming in on the inside. Mom and dad, your children, your home, your castle, whether no matter where you live, that is the culture of heaven that you should be protecting. There ought to be armed guards out there that simply stop the world as sentinels. Never mind. It's in PlayStation somewhere. Keep clicking. The sentinels to stand outside the embassy of the home and say, nope. I don't care what you're offering. You're not getting my kids inside. You're not changing the way we think in here. You're not changing the way we dress in here. You're not changing how we think about this world in there. The word of God, the statutes, the commandments, and these things of the Lord, this is how we govern our home. This is an embassy of heaven. And we shoot the bad guys. Well, I don't know how to justify that last part, but you know what I mean. Definitely keep them out. So are you an American now? You dual?
Yeah,
I'm Jamaican. I got it, man. I've spent many good days in Jamaica, and I appreciate those fine, fine people. The Bible says, jump ahead. I've run out of time because Manny took so long to define the word. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. Now, keep in mind, this is grandparent, parent, and kid. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between the eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I am going to pick this message up at another point. I think, is it Monday you said to go back to the teams? And is it Monday or Tuesday, Pastor? Does it? None. This is it. Oh, we're not leaving, and we're going to finish this 7-day message. I feel it. When your kid wakes up in the morning, they ought to see the Bible and hear the Bible. When they're sitting down for their meal, they ought to see the Bible and hear the Bible. When you send the kid off to school, they ought to see the Bible and hear the Bible. When you're driving down the road, taking them to the endless list of sporting events and other cultural events, they ought to hear the Word of God from you. When that kid comes home, they ought to hear the Word of God from you. And when you put little Manny down to sleep, he ought to be hearing the Word of God. Why? God said so. The Word of God is the sentinel outside the embassy of our home to make sure our homes are protected. You know why what I'm sharing sounds so whacked out today? It's because very, very few people do this. Very few people see their home as an embassy of heaven. Very few people obey the wording in those verses to say, when Ryland wakes up, he hears the Word of God. When Ryland's at breakfast, he hears the Word of God. When Ryland's on his way to school, he hears the Word of God. When Ryland's on his way home from school, he hears the Word of God. When Ryland goes to bed at night, he hears the Word of God. And we get up and we do the same thing again the next day. Why do we do that? Because we have a whole generation to influence for the cause of Christ. And the more that we protect our homes, the better the generation has the better opportunities the generation has to turn out for God better. Does that make sense to you? What's missing in our homes? Don't curse the world. They're not going to listen to you anyway. Do the one thing you have influence over. You have influence over what happens at the house. Ryland's parents are back here. I should remember your names, and I apologize I don't, but I had anesthesia, so I'm going to blame that. Ma'am, what is your name? Natalie. And sir? Jason? Jason and Natalie have Ryland, but you all have one other, right? Where? I'll ask you the question because you seem so sweet and innocent, and I'm going to end in just a minute. Have you ever seen anybody in your home rebel against their mom and dad? Yes. It makes your heart sad, doesn't it? It does. And with such kind of rebellion, you just have to wonder, is he not being taught right? Is he not being helped? Is he not getting the Word of God? Yes. You have the potential to be a Pharisee in a great manner. Have you ever seen in your home rebellion against your parents? And you just wonder what's happening. Here you are, a sweet and precious child and following God in everything. And your sister is leading you. And you wonder what is happening. It's so easy to go astray. It's so easy to do things on our own. And the reason why, I'm going to use a word, and now it's JJ, here's the word symbiotic. Do you know what that means? Symbolic, that has an L in it. I'm a mushroom, you're a dead piece of wood in the forest. You're dying and your death gives me life. We need each other. Dude, right over his head. No clue at all. We need, yes, dependent. Wonderful. We're growing off each other. Our homes need the church, and the church needs our homes, and our young people need the Word of God. And when we keep the culture consistent at church and at home, then we produce these fine specimens of humanity, Ryland and Kayla? No. Madison, with two D's or one? Of course. But you can get keychains with one D, can't you? Exactly. Good call, Mom. Ryland and Madison can then grow up in a home where their parents lock the world out. and said, we don't do things like you see outside this home. We don't act like you see people act outside this home. Why? Because we have a home with a biblical culture. I pause right here and say this to you. If your home doesn't have a biblical culture, this is the place to fix it. Your Father, thank you for this time and your word. Please bless in the service to follow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.